Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. M. Waters, A Dog with Human Hands, Calvin Zeke, Full Stop, Andrew Lehman, Scott Latour, Malene Matigue, Fizzer, Teresa Wallstrom, Daria Kozbenko. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Special thanks to Paul Gregory for today's submission. May your homeworld remain intact for longer than the galactic average.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma.
Trexel, are you in the vent again? Trexel, please come out. Look, if you've got Stark, tap one.
Oh, ah! David.
Access
David,
granted.
David, how are you?
Yes. Thank you, Trexel.
Why are you standing on a chair looking into a vent, David?
Well, I thought you might have. You did leave by the vent, so I thought maybe you would.
Did I, David?
Yes.
Did I leave by a vent?
Yes.
Or was that perhaps a clever ruse and I actually left by a door?
No, you definitely left by the vent.
No, you are right, David. I have been crawling in the vents again. But that chapter of my life is over. You know, it was a number of hours after I left last night and I was still crawling around and I think I might have got a little smidgen of radiation poisoning crawled near a reactor somewhere, but I'm fine now and when I came out and, you know, I was having a hot radiation-removing shower in my quarters.
You are looking quite bleached.
I just thought to myself, events really for you anymore, Trexel? You're not a young man. You know, you've got gravitas. You've got pull around here. You've got sway. Sure, they do that thing where they, you know, laugh and walk away, and you know, whenever I visit the board, they always make me, you know, wait for hours and hours in an antechamber and then pretend that they didn't know I was there and then close. But I have people to impress, and I can't be scrambling around in vents if I'm going to be doing that, am I?
No, not at all.
No, so I walked here tall, wearing my best trousers.
Yes.
Look at them.
Yes, they're very nice. Very
See?
Nice. Yes, plaid.
Plaid.
And is that 8 pockets?
Oh, you can't have too many pockets, David. Give me one good reason why more pockets is worse than fewer pockets. One reason.
Pocket vermin.
Pocket vermin. David, that's just a friend you haven't met yet.
Okay.
Little friend in your pocket. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Little friend, don't you stop it. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, look, here comes the next brief.
Oh, okay.
Initiating.
Right. This one is from Bathin, the great Duke of Galactonium.
Bathin?
Yes.
Of Galactonium, well.
Yes. They need a place to keep their precious stones. That's what they want the planet for. Mm. And the one design feature they must have is that denizens can only move by transporter.
Old Bathin. You know, I went to school with him.
Oh.
Yes. It's a human. Old Bathin. Yes, we were friends at school. Well, I say friends. He held me upside down into an airlock until I went blue. But then, obviously, his father is the Duke of Galactonium, so he went off and did that while I got a job at the old firm.
Well,
the old Stella firm.
I mean,
the old Stella firm limited is what I'm saying. So, yes, well, I know him pretty well. Pretty well.
Okay.
He's done very well for himself.
Well,
which, of course, I'm absolutely delighted by. Obviously, only because his father was the old Duke of Galactonium. And obviously, anybody can have a rich father. But obviously, my mother is the reason that I have position here. But he was a real ding-dong about it, you know, David?
You know when
someone's like, just really makes a thing about it?
So is his dad just the Duke of Galactonium?
Yes.
Well, he's the great Duke of Galactonium.
Oh, so it escalates.
Oh.
That's the whole Galactonium. Do you know about Galactonium?
No.
Well, Galactonium, it is a little bit of a sore subject around here. It's a human colony.
Oh, right.
They disagree with how Stella Firma exists. You know, obviously our history, you've been an Imogen, you understand that obviously when we escaped the great desolation that destroyed the Earth, we did that, by the way, but once we escaped that thing that we did, and then we discovered that maybe there was a business for our terraforming technology, and so Stella Firma was born. They did the pivot, the great pivot, you remember? And then some people were like, hey, I don't want to be a citizen employee that's indebted to a faceless board for all eternity, for some reason. And they just left. They took some shuttles and left. And
right.
That was hundreds of years ago. And
how do you... So, could you tell me a bit more about Galactonium? Because it sounds so awful that I just want to be absolutely sure that I never want to go.
Defectors to valued customer. Galactonium will be eliminated.
Oh, yes, of course. So they found an uninhabited planet. They had stolen some terraforming technology. They turned it into a sort of, what would you call it? A paradise. Obviously, they haven't got the tech we have here, but, you know, they used what they had and they made a verdant wonderland of earthly delights, and they've lived there ever since. And, you know, relations have been strained at times, but we've come to a sort of a detente. You know, they are now a rich trading post. We are obviously still a massively powerful corporation. Every now and again, someone chucks a photon beam where it shouldn't go. But mostly, you know, we get on. And the Grand Duke, obviously, is a relatively important customer. But as I said, real ding-dong at school.
Great Duke.
What did I call him?
Grand Duke, probably.
Oh, the Great Duke.
Yes,
the Grand Duke. Wow, a Duke.
It is his...
Big Papa Duke swinging around his scepter.
No, so it's the Great... The Great Duke.
So yes, the Great Duke is somebody that...
Of Galactonia.
Of Galactonia. That was,
Bathin.
Bathin, the great Duke of Galactonia. Yes. Thank you, David. So yes, so, obviously we want to do a fantastic job.
Well, yes, because...
Heaven forfend his dukeship should have a substandard planet.
Stella Firma Limited is pleased to remind you that employee enthusiasm is mandatory.
And heaven forfend your career record would have a substandard planet as well. So, we want to make a good plan.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
All right. So, he needs somewhere to keep all of his precious stones.
I've got so many precious stones. Look at me. My nine pockets are overflowing with stones, so I need a whole planet for them.
He's probably got more than nine pockets. But
I've got most pockets, David.
Well, you've got more pockets than me, Drexel.
Yes,
so
you've got no pockets, have you, David?
No, this
you've
one's
got a featureless
just...
boiler suit.
Yes.
Yeah, old no pockets David over
actually,
there.
Strangely slick.
What?
The boiler suit is kind of hydrophobic. I keep sliding off of things.
Oh, yes, well, we wouldn't want you to get damp. What if you got mouldy? Then we'd have to clean you. What a mess that would be.
Well, I have had an itch for the last
2 weeks. Oh, you'll get massively
weeks.
Dry skin, David. Oh, my God. Your skin probably does need some moisture, but your itchy skin is less of a problem than you being a filthy hot mess.
Right.
Anyway, clothing choices aside, he wants a planet to keep his precious stones on.
Yes, lots of stones, obviously enough stones to need a planet.
Yes, sure.
And has to have one of the denizens of this planet, so apparently, I don't know if he wants it to be a habitable planet that people go to, or maybe somewhere that they go to see his stones, or that he needs a large staff to look after all of his stones, because there are just so many stones, as the Great Duke of Galactonia means. Very rich and powerful, it has lots of stones, as you said, it was a big trading post, full of precious... nice things that he has.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. David, do you want to continue maybe to talk about how fantastically rich and wonderful?
Well, I'm just trying to get into the head of the great Duke of Galactonia.
Oh, you're really getting on my wick, aren't you, David?
His precious stones, I don't know what you mean.
Keep on just circling back around to how fantastic and... So you know he was really bad? You're always really bad at?
Being...
Drinking.
Really bad at drinking.
One drink... Old tipsy boy he'd become.
Sounds quite cheap. Probably why he's got so much money now.
Oh, you always know how to turn it around, don't you, David? A viper in my bosom, a knife in my heart. You want your knife back, David?
Very slippery, itchy knife.
Slippery snake knife detected. Security alerted.
So his stones.
Yes.
We need somewhere to keep them, and the people who... I think probably, given that it's a planet, probably all three. So you're going to need some staff to look after the stones.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need people who come and visit the stones.
Yes.
And people to look after the people who come and visit the stones.
It's your standard denizen package, David. You don't need to overcomplicate things. We know how staffed planets work.
Ah.
If you've got a thing you need to keep, you need people to keep it. You need people to come see it because that's why you're keeping it. And you need people to keep the people keeping it and seeing it happy. That's your standard three denizen package.
So that's not so difficult.
So this is all about security, David, because as much as I don't like the man, his key concern will be, are people touching my precious stones, because the one way to lose a stone is to have people touching it, because touching leads to grabbing, and grabbing leads to taking, and taking leads to stealing, and stealing leads to prison. And then obviously your parents bail you out of prison, and they say, Trexel, Trexel, you've disappointed us once again. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
What a coincidence that the man in that story was called Trexel as well.
Isn't it?
Yes, very strange. So security.
Yes, it's very important.
So we need a large security force.
We need a vault planet.
Okay.
A vault planet. Now, a vault planet, one of the things about a vault planet is it doesn't need a lot of the things that a regular planet needs. An atmosphere, don't need it. It's all on the inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the vault needs denizens.
You've misunderstood me, David. You understand what an atmosphere is. What's an atmosphere, David?
It's when you go to a party and you
David, I'm going to stop you right there, David.
Okay.
In terms of a planet, what is an atmosphere?
So it's when you go to a party planet and when you land, you're like, air help, there's no oxygen here and I'm dying because of the hot, hot sun.
Exactly. Okay, I'll stop you too soon, David. You are absolutely correct. That is what an atmosphere. Now, on a regular planet, that atmosphere, it's outside, it's on the surface. But if you're in an enclosed space, that's not an atmosphere, David. That's just what's inside, and you don't need things like, you know, gravity to hold it in and all this other complicated stuff. You just need a big steel box. And inside that box, sure, we might have trapped some oxygen, and yes, there might be air filters, but we just don't have to worry about all of the general... You know, the thing about atmospheres is so much of it just flaps about, you know, on the surface of a planet, being exposed to space, getting hot, getting cold, all these complicated things. In a vault planet, you just lock it all in. Mm. Trap the air. Three strikes and you're in.
Okay.
Get in there.
All right. I'm getting inside.
Okay, so we're going to have a vault planet.
Yep.
Doesn't even need to be circular, David.
Sure.
Curves are costly. Let's make it a big square. Big box.
Okay. We haven't done anything that's not a ball for a while. So
no. I think the last one was a pod, and it was sort of a pod shape.
Yeah, we'll do a big cube.
So it's going to be a lovely big box.
Yes.
So inside that box, there needs to be a way of getting in and out that needs to be secure.
Yes.
So how are we going to do that?
My
first thought, the entire side of the whole vault planet opens up. Hundreds, if not thousands, of square kilometres of side just opening up onto the vast vacuum of space.
How's that going to work?
I absolutely don't know, David. I imagine expensively, and I imagine a few denizens might die every single time it happens.
So, actually, that's a good question. I did have that question. What is Galactonium's attitude to workers and their rights?
Oh, they do not care for them. As the name implies, it's a feudal system, David. You're not a grand duke or a great duke or a big daddy duke boy if you want people to have, you know, rights or say or anything like that. You know, even here, we call ourselves citizen employees.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, at any moment, the board could decide that we are no longer needed and get rid of us, or Imogen could consider our waste output to food input balance off and get rid of us that way. But at least there's a system in place.
Right.
You know, there are reasons that these things happen. Whereas in a feudal system, if the Duke looks at you and thinks, I don't like your face, you're gone.
Okay.
And that's why they're called denizens. They're not citizens.
Right, okay. Is that because they live in dens?
They do all live in little dens.
Okay.
Back on their home planet, everybody's in a little den. Sometimes, you know, if you're really fancy, you've got a shack. If you're really fancy, you might have a cave. If you're incredibly rich, that cave might have a door. But if you're a little bit richer, that cave doesn't have a door anymore because it's open plan, David. You see, you go backwards and forwards through the features. That's how it works. I've got an open plan cave. It's got a kitchen dining area that the rain gets into because I'm middle class.
Right, well, I'm going to take your word for that one. Okay, so we'll have the whole range of dens.
Yes.
For the denizens. And the side of the planet's going to just open up.
Just open up.
Just open up.
You know what? Let's put the dens on the inside of the door.
Okay.
Then if anything's going to get destroyed and sucked off into the vacuum of space, it's going to be denizens. The Duke won't mind.
Okay.
You know, it's a system that regulates itself.
Okay. So we have this...
big steel cube.
Yeah, so a big steel cube with one side of it opens up.
Oh, yes.
A lot of dens everywhere.
Oh, I've got a thought about the art of this. You know what? Often we don't get to flex our design muscles, David. You know, we're always thinking about features and structures and all of this kind of stuff. When really, we should be thinking about how it looks aesthetically.
Yes, if we have more time.
All of the controls are full scale. Buttons 2 miles across. You have to ram a spaceship into it to press a button. for okay. example. And then you've got to turn a big wheel. But that wheel is 300 miles across. And you've got to just, you've got to get like six spaceships, and you need to put them all on each of the spokes and accelerate them, and some of them slip off and smash and explode. You know, it's basically, you know, like a small safe you'd have like in a room.
Yes.
It's that, but huge.
Okay.
Just enormous.
With a whole population of denizens to operate.
Just all on the inside of one door.
Okay.
They maintain the mechanism, because remember, this mechanism, it's going to have like holes that in a regular safe wouldn't be big enough for a piece of dust. A whole denizen's going to be able to walk through that. Sure, they might get crushed by a sudden piece of moving equipment, but they're a denizen. That's what they're for. Their blood will lubricate the mechanisms.
Oh, okay. Fine, let's go with that. So what
when you crush a body and it lubricates a mechanism, could you call that goobricating? Because you become a sort of a goo. Like, I've smashed you into a lock, and now your rendered flesh and blood, like that goo, it's goobricated it.
Yes.
We could patent that.
We could.
And Hartro couldn't say we haven't explained it, because that is fully fleshed out. You know what? That's the tagline. Goobricated corpses. A fully fleshed out product from Stella Firma Limited.
Yes, but we're not making
this is wonderful.
We're not
go on
making,
Imogen
no.
and trademark goobrication.
Goobrication. Patent pending.
We've only done one side. What's happening on the five other sides?
Well, they're just plain. The outsides are fine.
Okay,
it's
so
the inside that's massively complicated,
right,
we need to get
So what
to.
Are we doing? The vault. The vault, right? What is the vault? You're opening up the side of the planet, and
yes.
then what? Is it just another smaller safe?
No, it's not. That would be so unoriginal. What, just safe upon safe upon safe with fewer and fewer denizens living in each one? Maybe choosing smaller denizens. Oh my god, that would be amazing. So there's just within that safe, there's another safe.
So nested safes.
Average height of the denizen is just a little bit lower,
yeah.
and they're living in small houses. And you open that one, smash a couple of denizens up to goobricate the mechanism. Open that one up. These ones are really uncommonly small. And you open up that one, and you keep on going until it's the children. The children of the denizens, and the shortest children of the denizens at that, and they're going, wah, wah, would you like to get at the stones? And you're like, yes, give me the stones!
Child labour detected. Consultants encouraged.
Okay, so, good. So basically, we have about 140 nested safes operated by smaller and smaller people.
And then eventually children.
And then eventually children, and then there's basically just a big room full of stones.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Good. Now, we need to get to the other part of the brief, which is that all of these denizens have to travel by transporter.
Right.
Now, I don't know what that means by transporter. Is it a transport system? Is it a teleporter? What do the Galactoniums like? And bearing in mind, we have 1 minute and 10 seconds to do this bit.
What would a stuck-up, snooty idiot think?
What was Bathin's favourite? What did he come to school in?
When he came to school in?
Yes.
Sort of a chute.
A chute.
Sort of like a smooth chute that would just sort of roll him along like a big stupid egg.
Okay, right.
So what he thinks a transporter. He just thinks a series of chutes.
Well, that's transport.
Yes.
So it's just loads of slides.
I feel like we've done chutes before, though.
We have, and...
And you know what?
No.
I'm not gonna play to his game. You know, chutes are stupid,
no,
I think.
But Trexel, yes. Think about the beautiful irony of you're making a planet for Bathin and you're reusing old ideas and he doesn't even know.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
I'm going to put
they ride around
slides.
On dogs. You've written that
what?
Down.
No.
They ride around
slides.
On dogs.
That's not a transporter.
They're
what?
Dog. Oh, great. Fine. They ride around on dogs. The dogs ride in chutes.
Okay,
is
fine.
Is that a compromise?
Yes.
Is
dogs
that a compromise?
And slides. Dogs and slides.
Each of the dogs
okay.
is
no,
shaped into
to
a centre. Bathin's an idiot. Bathin's an idiot.
No,
you shape the dog with
no. Okay, it's gone.
I feel like that's teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, David.
That was a close one, and I feel like I wrote about three sentences.
Yeah, well, did you write down you've shaved into the... What did we shave into the dogs in the end?
Bathin's an idiot.
Bathin's an idiot.
Okay.
And that's in the brief.
No. No, there's dogs and slides.
You didn't write... That
well,
was
I had
all
to,
I wanted
I had
in
to,
it,
I
David.
Had to,
if we didn't have anything else, I wanted a dog with Bathin
then
as an
why
idiot
did you,
shaved
why
into
Why did
it.
You say it 2 seconds after the deadline?
Because I thought of it then.
Trexel, if you would...
When I say
Trexel.
Something after the deadline,
no.
think of it
Trexel.
Before...
No, you are consistently here 20 minutes before the deadline.
Yes.
If you'd come even... Think about it. If you had come even a minute earlier, we'd have had dogs with Bathin's and idiot shaved and stuff. Think about the amount of things that you have lost from doing that. So think about how many things we could have shaved Bathin's and idiot into if you turned up when you were supposed to... 8 hours ago!
SAS detected. Security alerted.
Are you quite done? Your little temper tantrum over there, David?
Well, I don't think that echoing what Hartro said to you is really a temper tantrum. I don't think that's a temper tantrum. I think that's just honest and forthright feedback.
Is this about your itchy skin?
No.
Is it about your... Do you want some moisturiser, David?
Yes.
I'll get you some moisturiser, David. Look, when you want some moisturiser, David, you don't need to make up a whole rigmarole about me being late
I wasn't
time
making
and that
it...
being a problem and us shaving things
it
into
is.
Dogs. If what you're saying is, Drexel, I've got an itchy back... Then just say it.
Okay,
David.
No. Okay, I do
just
have an itchy
it.
Back.
I
do.
Oh, you've got an itchy back.
But
thank
no,
you, David.
No, but
thank you for admitting that, David. Thank you for coming with me and allowing me to explore your body.
Drexel.
I'll get you moisturizer, David. I read you loud and clear. What the, I'm just tuning into Radio David 7, tuning in there, and what I'm hearing is I'm
turn
so
up earlier.
Itchy.
Turn up earlier.
I'm so itchy.
Turn up earlier.
I'm so itchy.
Turn up earlier.
Get me moisturizer.
Please turn up earlier.
I'm so itchy.
Turn up earlier.
You've made your point, David. You've made your point. All right, I'll go get some moisturiser and I will see you bright and early tomorrow evening. All right, bye-bye.
I'll moisturise you, you great big...
Vulgarity detected. Releasing relaxation gas.
Wait, no, that's not fair.
Stella Firma is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill Limited and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. It was created by Tim Meredith and Ben Meredith and produced by Laurie Ann Davis with executive producer Alexander J. Newell. In today's episode, Imogen was played by Imogen Harris. David Seven was played by Ben Meredith. And Drexel Geisman was played by Tim Meredith. The episode was edited by Edward von Adakas and Alexander J. Newell, with music by Samuel D.F. Jones and artwork by Annika Khan. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Discord, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, join our Reddit community on r/RustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail @RustyQuill.com. May the board preserve and keep you.